The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning again, guys, church. It's fantastic to have our little people in with us this morning, our DC kids, our Discovery Cove kids. And my understanding is that you're going to get some things that are going to help you get through today's message. And some adults may want that as well as they're coming through. But it's good to be together. It's good to be focused on Jesus and the birth of the King this morning. Now, church, we've all seen the children's Christmas nativity scenes or nativity productions, haven't we? We've all seen them. We've all been there. There's always a young boy who plays Joseph. And he very anxiously comes up onto stage and he walks in. He's dressed in a bathrobe that's got like a hole in it for his head. He's wearing his thongs. He's anxious and he will often look for his parents in the crowd and give them a little wave. And he makes his way over to the inn door. And very nervously, he reaches out and he knocks on the door. Very good. And he sways from side to side, chewing his fingers. And the innkeeper busts through the door. And he's really grumpy. He's really grumpy because he's just been playing out in the hall basketball and his dad has made him play this role this morning. And that's why he's got his rage monster look on. He's grumpy. And the innkeeper with his arms crossed listens as Joseph describes his massive journey and riding on a donkey. He then points and introduces to the innkeeper his very pregnant wife. And in waddles Mary up the stairs of the stage. She waddles across the stage. And she's obviously very, very pregnant. And she only stops and pauses to give us her best impression of a birth pain. Yeah, that deserves a clap. Joseph looks at the innkeeper with his hands in the air. He points at his wife, kind of pleading. The innkeeper looks at Mary. And we all know what happens next, don't we? The innkeeper indicates to Mary and Joe that there's just no room in his crowded inn. The innkeeper looks at Mary, he shrugs his shoulders at Joseph, and then he shoos them both away. But what if there's an interruption to the story? What if there's a voice that calls out to the innkeeper?
Hey, Mr. Innkeeper, I think twice about what you're doing here, buddy. Let me just go through this door. Hello? Mr. Innkeeper, do you know who you're turning away? No. This little baby is Jesus. Jesus, God the Messiah. Lord of Lord and King of King. Glory. No. Do you know who you're turning away? Do you know? For centuries to come, for era upon era, you'll be known as the guy who turned out Jesus, who turned him out into the cold.
Then what if the innkeeper changed his mind and said to Mary and Joe, come in, I'll find you a nice, warm, comfortable place for you and the Son of God. Come in. The three children, let's give them a huge hand as they Good. You guys did fantastic. How you going, mate?
Alex, exit stage left.
Yeah, you need to go now through
thank
that door.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. And Jacob, can you please make sure you mute his microphone? Because he might go out to the bathroom and we do not want to hear that. All right. Awesome. You know, church, this morning Alex asked the innkeeper a really, really important question. And it's a question that I want you to reflect upon. And it's this. Do you know who you are turning away? Do you know who you are turning away? As he had his hands on the innkeeper's shoulder. And you know, the reality is that we can't change the scene, can we? We can't change that scene because we know that in the story over the last 21 weeks, everything has been pointing to this moment in his story, this moment in history, the moment when the earth receives her king, the moment the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is introduced. Everything in this story, the up and down journey of the Israelites, God's people, in and out of exile, the battles, the disobedience, the many prophets sent to the Israelites to basically get them ready for Jesus. And you might remember one famous prophet by the name of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah foretells the details of this glorious birth in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's on the screen there. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And you know what's really cool? And you might have heard me already say this in one of the other chapters, is that this verse was written some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? Incredible. Now, church, this year we've spent most of our time in the Old Testament. And I have been blown away, absolutely blown away by every single book. Every single book in the Old Testament points us to Jesus. He was there before the Genesis, before the Genesis of the world. We see him foreshadowed right back in the Garden of Eden, when God provided animal skins to cover over the nakedness of Adam and Eve. We see him in Leviticus when we learn about the sacrificial system where blood is used to pay for sin. We see him as the Passover lamb. We see him in Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. What about David? In his writings, he describes Jesus as the shepherd king. We see him in Esther, who is a picture of Christ interceding for his people. And that was only a few weeks ago. And did Jacob wrestle with Jesus in the brook of Jabbok? And did he appear in the fiery furnace as the fourth person with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego? You know, it's awesome to think about all the times when Jesus has shown up in the Old Testament. And it's awesome to know that our Old Testament is not just an irrelevant, hard-to-read bloodbath, but it's God's story. It's God's story, and it intersects our story. And church, I've said it so many times, but I want to say it again this morning. Everything, and it's just so important for us to know this, that everything we've seen up to this point, everything that we've read up to this point has been about our God, the creator of the universe, doing everything he can to restore the relationship that was lost with his piece de resistance. You might remember me saying that way back in chapter 1. His ultimate creation, his precious creation with us. He lost that relationship with us. And because of sin, It separates us from Him. It did back then in the garden, and it still does to this day. And the Old Testament is story after story of God trying to woo back His people. Woo us back into relationship with Him. To make it right. To provide a way. And now we come to the point in the story where we see His ultimate rescue plan. Now let's pick up this story in John chapter 1. And we're going to read that together. In the beginning. Where have we read that before? Right back in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You just got to let that sort of settle in your spirit a little bit. I mean, these some incredible verses here. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then we jump down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. A couple of things, really briefly, just want to say about these verses. Now, these verses, you read verses 1 through to 14, absolute chock-a-block with theology. And I am just going to bring some very simple concepts out this morning. I want to share just very briefly a couple of things. The first thing is I want to ask a question. Who are these verses referring to? There's a big, big hint right here. These verses are referring to Jesus. The Word is Jesus. Very simply put, the Word is God revealed through Christ Jesus. The Word is Jesus. Okay, so you need to get that firstly. The other great thing is that these verses tell us that Jesus, the Word, He was in the drawing room of creation. Just let that sort of settle in for a moment. Jesus was in the drawing room of creation. Wow! In Colossians 1 verse 15 it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That verse, doesn't it, very clearly states that Jesus was in the drawing room of creation. Incredible. The other really cool thing about these verses is that the Word became flesh. That is, this Jesus was made with flesh. He was made with teeth. He was made with toenails. And He had a beating heart, just like you and I. He is not part human, and He is not part God, as some of us may think. But He is fully God, and He is fully human. In Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. For in Jesus, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In other words, Jesus is God. Jesus is God with us. Remember, Emmanuel? Fully man, fully God. It's really important that we get that. And do you know what? He was actually born as an ordinary man, just like you and I. Not some of you. Obviously, there's some women in the room. But He was also born to some very ordinary people. Firstly, He was born to a young, ordinary virgin girl. Luke chapter 1 verse 34, it says, and this is Mary basically going after the angel has told her about this. She goes, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. God chose the woman, the womb of an ordinary virgin girl. And incredibly, his conception needed no human intervention. It was supernatural. Or like our Catholic brothers and sisters say, they call it the Immaculate Conception, don't they? Incredible. So he was born to a young, ordinary virgin girl. His earthly dad, believe it or not, was just an ordinary man, a tradesman, you know, a run-of-the-mill tradesman, an ordinary carpenter. His birth was very ordinary. It was truly humble. There's no room, as we've just seen in the skit, there's no room in the inn. Do you like my sign? It's a good sign, hey? There was no room for him in the inn. He's wrapped in cloths and placed in a very humble, very simple manger. Some believe it to be a food trough for animals with straw. Max Lucado says this. He says, he was divine enough to enter into the womb of a virgin, but human enough to not get a room in an inn. And what a fantastic quote that is. That kind of just sums it right up. How humble and how ordinary was the birth of Jesus. And you know what, church? I want to say to you this morning that our God, He knows ordinary. It's really important for us to know this. He knows ordinary. And you know what that means? He can relate to my ordinary. He can relate to your ordinary. That's so important to grab this morning. This couple was so ordinary. They couldn't even swing a room for the birth of the King of Kings. And I think to myself, why? They've been hearing about this guy coming for years. But the reality is that the world did not recognize him. John 1 verse 9, we read on, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, it backs up what we've just talked about. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The world, and it's underlined there, did not recognize him. You know, we know from the story, we saw in the skit, that he was famously turned away by Jack the innkeeper. And it certainly wasn't the last time that Jesus was turned away. It was the first of many rejections throughout his earthly life. But the poor innkeeper gets a bad rap, doesn't he? He's known throughout history with the reputation of the one who turned away the heavily pregnant Mary. I mean, for goodness sake, couldn't he see how pregnant Naya was? Couldn't he see that? I mean, find some room for the woman who is about to give birth. Even if he didn't know that it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just, she's pregnant. Don't you know who she is carrying? Don't you know who you are turning away? But this was just ordinary Joe, an ordinary virgin girl by the name of Mary. And you know what? His inn was just too crowded. And the reality is that the world since that day has just been too crowded to receive Jesus. Crowded with deadlines, crowded with headlines, crowded with mobile phone lines, crowded with power lines and long lines. Our schedules are full. Our lives are jam-packed with stuff. We don't have any room in the inn of our lives. Our world is so crowded. However, Jesus still comes and he knocks on the door of our lives. Because church, you need to know He loves you. He loves us. And He wants to walk with us. Just like back in creation. Just like when He came out from wherever He was and He couldn't find Adam and Eve because they were hiding, because they were naked. He was wanting to walk with His precious creation, and He still wants to walk with us today. You know, church, He doesn't come to complicate further our already complex lives, but He comes to simplify our lives. He comes to bring us life. Max Lucado says this. He says, He doesn't come with a list of things that you need to do. He comes with a list of everything that He has done. Amen. How awesome is that quote? Sin dealt with, tick. Death defeated, tick. Eternal future secured, tick. I don't know about you, but that is one amazing list. He doesn't come to us with a list of all the things that you need to do. He comes with a list of all the things that He has done. He actually clarifies life. And knowing those things, knowing that list of things that He brings, will give you what you need to handle and navigate the complexities of this life, of this complicated life. But you know what? We've got to respond. We've got something to do. And the great carol, what does that encourage us to do? It encourages us to prepare Him room. Who's remember singing that over the last few days? We need to prepare Him room. And when you hear Him knock, you need to respond. You need to receive Him. You need to open up the door of your lives. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it says this. It says, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You know, those verses there speak of another miraculous birth, don't they? Our spiritual rebirth. So this morning, church, I want to leave you. I want to leave you with a question, and it's an important question. Do you know who you are turning away? Do you know who you are turning away? You know, it's not too crowded, and it's not too late to meet Jesus, to meet the Word, to get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior. You know, He comes to common people like you and I. He comes to a common carpenter, to a common virgin girl called Mary, with common shepherds. And when He comes through common things, through ordinary churches and ordinary services like this one, through ordinary people who are sitting in this room, and through ordinary sermons like you've just heard. He comes through the ordinary. But you know what? You need to respond. You need to let Him in. You need to open up the door of your life. And I want to just give you a few moments now, just in quiet reflection. I want to encourage you just to bow your heads, to reflect upon the scripture that you've just heard, the things that have just been preached. And I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, wherever we might be at on our spiritual journeys this morning, Lord, if we don't know You, Lord, if we are, you know, 30 years down the track, wherever we might be at on this spiritual journey this morning, I want to pray that You knock. You knock on the door of our hearts. Continue to woo us back. Woo us back into relationship with You and give us the courage to receive You as King. Speak to us, Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're wanting to let Jesus in, if you would like to receive the gift of Jesus this morning, you can just simply pray this really simple prayer, and it just says this, and you just pray it along with me. Come in, Jesus. Come in. Please come in and make my heart your home. Just pray that simple prayer, and He will. He'll come into your world. And if you prayed that prayer in your heart, can I just encourage you to take a bold step this morning by letting one of us know, letting me know, letting somebody, one of the leaders know, so that we can get you a Bible, so that we can give you some resources that will help you and guide you and give you what you need as you begin your walk with Him. Please do that. And this morning as you go, I want you to take Max Licardo's quote home with you and into your week. Jesus doesn't come. He doesn't come with a list of things you need to do. He comes with a list of everything that He has done. Sin dealt with. Death defeated. Eternal future secured. I don't know about you, that is worth celebrating. That is worth singing about. So I'm going to encourage you to stand as we sing the fantastic carol, Joy to the World. Let's do that.